Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm an artist teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about looking at my development
mm-hmm.
as an artist rather than a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so
yeah.
In order to do that, Baltic and Barbican have got together to offer me a way of doing some research
mm-hmm.
And to work with artists. And the project that I've chosen to work with is the idea of me doing some work experience
mm-hmm.
at Baltic.
Okay, cool.
As an adult, rather
yeah,
than
yeah,
a
yeah.
16-year-old.
Yeah.
And as part of that, I'd really like to know what your influences have been, the key influences. It might have been work experience, but it might not. I'm just wondering what makes you tick as artists, if you could go back to you in your memory, perhaps to your earliest memories of when you felt that push me, pull you, that perhaps you get now that motivates you.
Mm.
And those are the key things that I'm interested
okay.
in as an artist educator.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, we do this together collaboratively as three of us, and we also kind of each do our stuff individually. Mine's like most primarily out of the three of us within specifically
in an art
making
context.
Art. Rose has a lot more writing stuff. So I guess there's probably two ways that we can approach something like that.
Yeah.
One is like the development which leads to this kind of way of thinking, and one is a more personal one. But then they're also kind of mixed up as well. Like
yeah.
Certainly for me they are. So
the social aspect is really important for you.
Yes, definitely. And especially with De Thirst, what we do is with our magazine, which is our primary output, it started as us it was departmental in the Slade School of Fine Art. We got project fund money to do a magazine of work of undergrads in the fine art media department. And then, so that was obviously very social to begin with, that it was all, everyone knew each other, we were all friends. And then it expanded beyond that, and we started asking more established artists to do stuff with us. When I had just graduated and Matt and Claire were still studying. And that has been, I mean, I think that just, sorry, I'm just like going off on one. I'm just losing my train of thought.
Well, it kind of developed into like its own thing gradually as it went along. So what at first was a sort of like flippant like stuff, but to be honest, like almost anything I've done that's any good ever has like started from a point of like non-contrived, like you don't like set about saying something by writing a manifesto usually.
No.
So it kind of came in a very kind of casual way and then developed into something where it started to be like, this thing that I'm naturally doing actually theoretically makes sense in terms of what I sort of believe in and stand for on things. And I guess what the kind of principal things in terms of the data stuff here are one, so obviously of like collaborating with as many people as we can who we respect, because there are like a lot of people out there, and that also isn't limited to a specifically art context. We have like worked with quite a few people right outside of that who would never refer to themselves as artists, and that's fine. And we're not necessarily calling what they do art, other than the thing itself is just has energy in what we do. But then, you know, a whole bunch of people in a more expanded fields of writing and theater and, you know,
cartoonists
and things like that. And then each project's been a way of developing and expanding that. And then the other kind of stronger pillar there is probably just self-entertainment. So the idea of there's no financial reason to make a magazine, but there is rarely financial reason to make art. So that kind of is in the same category and platform there. But there's also, maybe it feels like there's sometimes less of a reason to publish something or print something when you could put all that content out there pretty easily online. But then there's something about the format that we kind of like indulge in because we like it. And also I like just seeing somebody's work and thinking that, I mean, there is obviously a huge hierarchy and system in place within the art world, but within artists, it is kind of remarkable how easily people are approachable. And you can fire off an email very easily and get in contact with somebody who you really respect and then just kind of end up working with them. So it's kind of just creating a context that we ourselves would want to have work in. Like, if I always feel like, oh, if somebody just fired this email off to me saying this is the thing, I'd be totally into it. Like, I like these artists, I like their work, and it's not just like some badly curated group show that has like a bunch of theory attached to it that you can't really prescribe to your own work, but somebody is trying to force in on it with a bunch of artists who you think are all right. And so it is, it's sort of entertaining ourselves, creating that context. And then, you know, within things like this, there is definitely a level of, well, we're having fun.
Yeah, with the fun aspect, where yesterday, one of the things we did was interview Chi Onwura, who is, for those of you who don't know, is the Labour Member of Parliament for Newcastle. And I kind of spoke to her briefly on the phone before she came in, and we played a game with her, and I said, oh, it's going to be really fun. And then she said afterwards, like, usually when people say, this is going to be really fun, it's never, ever fun. And that's a kind of... I think we all take what we do with Dethirst very seriously, and it can stand up if you were going to theorize about it. But primarily, you just want people to go, like, this is kind of ridiculous and I'm enjoying this. And
there's also a tendency for, like, young artists to feel that they must, like, professionalize themselves to a standard that they are presuming. So they get offered a show or they get offered something and they feel like all of a sudden they've got to start making art which can be categorized as such, that looks like that, and that they should be being kind of polite about it, which is not on my personal agenda to do, because I can see the flaws quite clearly in the established system of the way art is viewed and consumed, and would like to change that clearly. But it's like kind of retaining those ideals, and then when you're gonna get offered like an institutional space, you then suddenly have a platform to kind of go berserk on it, and show them how things should be done.
Yeah.
Put in the door. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm a bit like you in that I kind of asked for this space. And like, oh, well, there's real artists in the other rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get in your way. I just want to find out these people's stories.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of way into kind of using spaces perhaps much more intuitively.
Yeah. I mean, especially
there's also like only so much, like the very like obvious thing for something like this perhaps would be just to find more autonomous running spaces, and there's always like this kind of pride that I think we in Britain more than America, for example, not that those are the only two places where people make art, but that we attach to kind of the project space and the kind of self-run artist space and stuff, which are great and they have their merits and everything, but they don't have much money and they don't have much infrastructural backing. And when you're doing something like this that involves so many people, that is kind of useful to use as long as you still retain what it is you're actually trying to do. And you can use, essentially what we're doing upstairs is using it like a project space in that quite purist way of thinking. And actually a lot of those project spaces and artist run spaces are desperate themselves to conform and then turn themselves into galleries, which we just see all the time now. The what was once a kind of semi-interesting stance, like suddenly they start representing artists and you're like, okay, wow, you're not offering anything new here. It's just another gallery and we don't particularly need those, so...
It's really good that you've come to Newcastle and that you... do you know the history of the figure project?
A little bit. Yeah. threes.
Yeah.
It's still open, it's still fresh.
Yes.
It's still new, even though it's in its third rotation.
Yeah.
And we're really quite interested in this building, for instance, is an academic building.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they do all sorts social things.
Yeah.
We have really funding meetings and things like that,
yeah,
for the Baltic itself.
Yeah.
So it's a real conglomeration.
Yeah.
I'm quite interested in the staircase links these two buildings together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I quite like that kind of idea of linking people.
Uh-huh.
Can I just be quite probing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for me personally, I was definitely like, we talk quite a lot in Dethus about whether people, the difference between like making art for yourself and making art for an audience. But then as a child, I was very, very much the person who sat in their room for hours on end and like made weird things out of plasticine and just like was completely shut off. But then it's nice now to like get that kind of, I don't know, like you go from like self-entertainment. I think that what we do definitely is about amusing ourselves, but it's not done in a very like solipsistic way. Like we are very much about like involving as many people as we possibly can. But we start from a place as like, what do we find funny? Like what would we go and see? And also making things and just asking like, or putting things together and saying like, why does this have merit? And if you're just doing something that you're like, oh, I think this is great. It's like, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that anyone else does.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like definite merit in just indulging your obsessions and like idiosyncrasies of thought and interest. But at the same time, I mean, I think I make everything that I do from a total, like, total audience point of view, really. So there's, you know, there is a divide between those two things. And definitely, like, I spent, you know, all of my childhood putting on plays for my brother, just, like, making costumes, films, like, a lot of films. Like, I'm literally spent all my life making films, like really bad ones for a long time. But then I started making like them quite properly when I was 13 or something, and just like carried that on ever since. So definitely just like always made stuff and you just out of cardboard or whatever. And that's like pretty apparent within my own work, which is very much like high narrative based and quite lo-fi, some of the like aesthetics and the props and things of it. They're done in quite a, there's an adolescent energy to it, I guess. But that's, you know, that's just because kids don't have inhibitions about this, that, and the other.
But then,
and I quite like very, very dumb things.
But then we were talking the other day about the difference between doing things that are childlike and some things that are adolescent. And I think with Matt's work, like obviously you're not like an adolescent person, but you're the way that the narratives work in your practice are quite adolescent and maybe like angsty in a way. But then with Dethirst, there are elements of that, but it's much more like, not like childlike wonder, but kind of more just kind of
youthful spirit,
like throwing things together. I mean, like with this show, we found out we were doing it 5 weeks ago and kind of went, oh God, how are we going to do this? We're live streaming from a gallery for 6 hours every single day and we have to do so much stuff. And then we just kind of went, well, we're going to do it and just like see what happens and mess around and have a good time, which is absolutely what we did. But then after the fact, when we're done, we're going to have all this content that then we need to whittle down and say like, this was about, you know, messing around and filling things out. But within that, there are like real kernels of things that are really good and that we should definitely like keep for posterity.
Prosperity, both.
It's been a long week. We're very tired.
I mean, I just think that that very dumb things are very important, because
yeah.
there isn't a single thing on this planet that's genuinely profound that isn't dumb. Sophistication tends to be kind of overrated, because it's that level of complex, like supposed complexity of thought never really gets at the heart of the matter, and the heart of the matter is kind of living and dying and all of that.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, that when you strip away some of those cliches of language and thought, that can be quite important, and you can get to the heart of the matter,
which is basically just the heart of the matter is YOLO.
It's running,
just
it's,
very YOLO.
It's running around and screaming.
Yeah, and just it's
end days of Rome.
Yes.
That's the ideal, if we can get to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I'm so engaged about, I think, if your work is this duration, and you're happy to live now.
Yeah.
But also have it recorded.
And yeah.
It's just so interesting. I saw you both with the cameras there, and you are engaging with the cameras and reflecting. And I heard all of your kind of, you said you're tired, and you wondered whether it was rubbish or not.
Yeah.
All this questioning.
I can't remember who was saying it. I read somebody talking about it. They were saying that in, like, sorry to name check the internet, but the way technology works really is the fact that there's everything is archived and recorded, and that's very daunting on one hand, but then I guess if you treat that with the kind of flippancy it deserves, then it actually is quite freeing, because it's just, yeah, there is all of this stuff and you just have to kind of live with it, and it's out there and it constantly will be, but you just have to kind of update it and push the next thing overboard on your Google search or
whatever. And with this as well, because we're doing this, I mean, for us it's like exhausting and like monumental and all this, and at times stressful, but then it's kind of occurring to us more and more throughout the week. It's just like, this is kind of, I mean, there is already so much stuff, and like no one has time to sit down and watch us for 6 hours a day.
Yeah, it's like way too big an ask of anybody, which is quite funny, really.
Yeah, which is so on the foot. So I think our viewership has dwindled slightly throughout the week.
It doesn't matter.
But yeah, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then we can.
I quite like the bits of us just like sitting there, kind of moaning a little bit.
Yeah.
And then just cutting to the next bit, or just coming up with like not that funny a joke.
Yeah.
And just going with that for a little bit. And that seems fine and suitable, and that nobody needs anything else, really.
No. And then we can have like that one killer moment that can be a video by itself.
Yeah.
And then
somebody might have seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we can say we did our job.
And it might be interesting that you've worked together a lot, I presume.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we spend a lot of time not arguing, but like going over things. I mean, there's some things that all three of us are like, yes, that's perfect. But one of the good things about working together is we, you know, as Matt said before about like, because he mostly works with an art practice, I'm primarily a writer, and then Claire, who isn't here, like works in TV. So we all have these, but we all studied fine art together, but then we kind of went in different directions. If we had all been art school students and then all practicing artists, and then, yeah, I couldn't get it to loop. But yeah, let me just carry on talking. Let me just finish this. I've lost my train of thought. Go on, Matt. Yeah, if we'd all gone in the same direction, I think what we are doing wouldn't be as interesting. And I think that is a problem, maybe, that happens with a lot of, because we're very critical of a lot of other print publications, specifically about using these, everyone uses the same aesthetics and the same processes. And it's just potentially just because people come from a very like homogenous environment, but you just need to open yourself up a bit more and like stretch things. And that's what I think, that's one of the things that makes what we do quite interesting, because I know I have an MA in media studies, so I'm just like, we gave a talk the other day that we pre-recorded and was very like irreverent and frivolous and kind of gave the history of what we've been doing, but then finished it off with this like media studies tirade about like the internet and how we position ourselves within that kind of like is a bit of a curveball for people to kind of say like, if you think we don't know what we're doing, we completely do know what we're doing. And it all kind of...
Yeah.
No, it could completely change. Like we shift format for every magazine issue we do. So for our second issue, we did a party bag. And then for our third issue, we did a USB stick alongside a printed A3. And then for the fourth one, we went back to like quite classic, like a nice... a glossy magazine. And then for the
tried to make it good
finally. But then for the fifth one, we haven't decided what we're doing yet, and we'll do that sometime this year and just mess it up again, see what's making us tick right now, and just carry on from there.
Self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, both of you.
No worries.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Shout out to the youth.
Struggling to kind of get their ideas together in amongst all of this media frenzy.
Yeah.
COVID day and day
out. Yeah, because it's tough times.
It's tough times on Instagram.
Yeah, tough times on Instagram. You've got to get your hashtag games really strong, otherwise people aren't going to see what you're doing.
Instead of your cardboard things.
Yeah, just, yeah.
It really doesn't matter what you make. That's the most important.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I kind of think it doesn't actually matter that much.
No, I think that's a good message to give out. Nothing actually matters that much.
Nothing matters.
Yeah, actually, you know, you get like...
No, art students in general, I always think are too...
Everything matters so
they
much.
Think everybody gets worried what they're making's any good or not.
You don't need to...
That's the irrelevant bit, kind of.
But then like, between the time that I graduated... But between the time I graduated and Matt graduated, you really like just, I mean, that was your, that's always been your attitude, but that's like the attitude you need. Cause I remember when I was finishing and I was like, oh my God, like what's going on? Like I'm just stressed myself out so much. Just be like, oh, you know, it's fun. It's a week long show. People might come, make something good, have a laugh. And that's that's our deep philosophy that we've brought to this. Mm. Very, very deep. It's a bit complicated. People might not understand. Just have fun.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah, thank
no
you
worries.
So much.
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you so much.
What, fabulous.
Where is this going to go?
It's going to go to...